We have down in your bulletin to read verses 1 through 6, but I really just want to emphasize verse 5. So let's just read verse number 5 of 2 Timothy chapter number 1. The Bible says, "When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also." Today is Mother's Day, a day that we set aside to honor all of those women that God has blessed with the privilege of being a mother. Mother's Day, actually, and the celebration of mothers can be traced all the way back to ancient Greece and Rome. But here in the United States, it began somewhere around 1908 with a woman from West Virginia whose name was Anna Jarvis. There is actually a monument to Anna Jarvis in an area in West Virginia. I've actually visited that and been to that. But Miss Jarvis believed that motherhood was something that should be honored. It's something that should be reverenced. And she thought that the best way of doing that was to have a day set aside every year to make sure that we do not forget to honor our mothers. And mothers are precious. And I'm grateful for my mother and my grandmother. And I know that you are as well. And today I want to bring a message to our mothers and speak with you for a few moments about what it means to be a Christ-honoring mother. And we live in a day and age when motherhood is fastly passing away. And there are a lot of women who have children, but there is a shortage of what I believe is a true mother. There's a difference between just having a child and being a mother to that child. And we not only need to have more mothers in our country and across the world today, but we need to have some Christ-honoring mothers. And as we look here in 2 Timothy, chapter number 1, we see the Apostle Paul writing to his son in the ministry, Timothy, and he gives us some very good insight about why Timothy was who he was and how he had a godly foundation to his life. And that godly foundation began not only with his mother, but also with his grandmother. And we learn from them several things that give us a clearer portrait of what a Christ-honoring mother looks like. And so this morning, I hope that you'll take notes with me and follow along as we investigate what it means to be a Christ-honoring mother. If you want to take notes this morning, first of all, let's talk about a mother's belief. Number one, let's talk for a moment about a mother's belief. Being a Christ-honoring mother begins with your own faith in Christ. You cannot take someone that you're somewhere that you're not willing to go. And it's the same way as a mother. It's impossible to be a mother who honors Christ without first having placed your own faith in Christ. And as we look here at Timothy's mother, we see the kind of belief that a Christ-honoring mother should have. And we see two specifics about it. Number one, we see that her belief should be in the Savior. Number one, we see her belief in the Savior. Timothy's mother Eunice had a clear-cut testimony that she believed in Jesus Christ as her Savior. You don't have to turn there, but if you'd like to, you can hold your place here in 2 Timothy and go back to the book of Acts. In Acts chapter number 16, and we see in Acts chapter 16 verse 1 where Luke writes, and in chapter 16 verse 1 of the book of Acts, he says this. He says, "Then came he to Derbe and to Lystra, and behold, a certain disciple was there named Timotheus, the son of a certain woman, which was a Jewish," but watch this last expression, "and believed." So as we look here in Acts chapter 16, it's in reference to Timothy, but not only to Timothy, but it's also in reference to Eunice, his mother. And the Bible tells us that Timothy's mother was a Jew, but she was also one who believed. Timothy's mother, Eunice, had a clear-cut testimony that she believed that Jesus was the promised Messiah, and she believed that Jesus died on the cross, that he was buried, and he rose again the third day. She was a believer. The first step to being a Christ-honoring mother is to be saved. Mothers, has there been a time in your life where you have asked Jesus Christ to come into your heart and forgive your sins and be your Savior? If not, there's no greater decision you can make on Mother's Day. There's nothing more important that you could do for your family than to make that decision today and say, "I accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, and I ask Him to forgive my sins, and I'm trusting Him to have a home in heaven." A Christ-honoring mother has a belief in the Savior, but she also has a belief in a second thing. The second thing is she has belief in serving. Secondly, she has her belief in serving. We go back to 2 Timothy chapter number 1, and as we look at this description that Paul gives as he writes to Timothy, Paul describes the faith that his grandmother Lois and his mother Eunice had. Notice in 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 5, he says, "When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also." Paul writes and he describes the faith that Timothy had as the same faith that his mother had, which is the same faith that his grandmother had. And he calls that faith an unfeigned faith. Now, unfeigned is an old English word. We don't use that very much today. But unfeigned comes from a Greek word that simply means to be undisguised, to be sincere or genuine. Paul says that Lois and Eunice and Timothy all had a faith that was not disguised. They all had a faith that was outward, that was open. Nobody had to question whether or not Lois or Eunice or Timothy, whether they really believed in Jesus Christ, but rather their life was a life of service and a life of dedication to Him. And everyone around them knew that they were a Christian, that they had placed their faith and trust in Christ, not because they had to broadcast it, but because they lived it. And the reality is, a Christ-honoring mother, or a Christ-honoring father for that matter, is someone who doesn't just say that they know Christ as Savior, but they display the fact that they know Christ as Savior by giving and living a life dedicated to Him. As a parent, or even as a mother, your actions display your beliefs far more than your words do. And we need to not only say that we believe in Christ and that we believe that we should serve Christ, but we need to live a life where we are serving Him, and it will relay that message to our children. A Christ-honoring mother doesn't tell her children she loves the Lord. She shows them she loves the Lord through the life that she lives serving the Lord. And so we see that a Christ-honoring mother's belief is in the Savior, but her belief is also in serving and having an unfeigned, unashamed faith. Well, notice the second thing this morning about a Christ-honoring mother. We've seen her belief, but secondly, I want you to see her burden. Whether you're a Christ-honoring mother or not, if you truly are a mother, not just a woman who's had children, but if you're truly a mother, someone who is laboring to try to love and raise your children, then you have certain burdens for your child. You have certain things that you're worried about, certain things that you're caring about very deeply. But as you take it a step further, as a Christian mother has additional burdens. And I believe there's two specific things that a Christ-honoring mother, or a mother who's a Christian, has a burden for her children. The first one is this: I believe a Christ-honoring mother is burdened for their heart. A Christ-honoring mother is burdened for the heart of her children. She's burdened because she wants to know that her children have placed their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. It's not something she can make them do. It's not something she can force them to do. Ultimately, it will be their choice. But at the same time, she carries a burden in her heart, and she's concerned that her child will grow up and know Jesus as Savior. She realizes that there is nothing in this world more important for her children than that they know Jesus Christ as Savior. It's more important than them having a good education. It's more important than them having a good marriage. It's more important about where they live or the car that they drive. The very crux of their life must be founded on Jesus Christ, and they must know Him as Savior. And a Christ-honoring mother has a burden for that. Timothy's grandmother and mother obviously carried a burden for that. They carried a burden for that, and it's evidence in the fact that they instilled truths in Timothy that caused him to know Christ. They instilled truths in their faith in God, and it began with Lois, the grandmother. She had a faith in God, and she instilled that and had a burden, and she wanted Eunice, her daughter, to have a burden for God, and she had a burden for Eunice to know Christ and to know God. And then because Eunice grew up in that atmosphere, guess what? She had a burden for Timothy, her son, and she wanted to know that he knew God and had a relationship with God. And so the reality is, a Christ-honoring mother has a burden for the heart of her children. But she not only has a burden for their heart, but she also has a burden for their heritage. Secondly, they have a burden for their heritage. A Christ-honoring mother's burden doesn't stop with her own children, but she's burdened about her grandchildren. She's burdened about her great-grandchildren. She's burdened about doing everything within her power to try to set her family on a course to know who Jesus Christ is, so that her family can have a godly heritage, so that there can be a lineage there, so that even children, great-grandchildren and great-great-grandchildren and great-great-great-grandchildren have an opportunity to know Jesus Christ and be spared the torment of eternity separated with God. She's burdened about their heritage. We see that obviously take place with Lois and Eunice and Timothy. Because again, Lois instilled those truths into Eunice, and Eunice instilled those truths into Timothy, and Timothy no doubt would have instilled those truths into his family. Have you ever considered this, mothers? You're not just raising your child, you're raising the parents of your grandchildren. So everything that you instill into your children is going to develop them to be the kind of parent to their children. So if you have certain things that are absolute important to you, you must drive those deep into the heart of your children so that when they become a parent, they will draw from that and they will then pour those things into your grandchildren and into your great-grandchildren. A Christ-honoring mother is not only burdened that her own children will know Christ, but a Christ-honoring mother, from what we see from Timothy's mother and grandmother, is a mother who's burdened for the heritage of her family. We've seen a Christ-honoring mother's belief and a Christ-honoring mother's burden, but notice a third and final thing. I want you to see a Christ-honoring mother's blessing. Notice, thirdly, a mother's blessing. A Christ-honoring mother is truly a blessing to everyone around her. There is nothing in this world that's more precious than to be around a mother who loves her children. Because a mother who loves her children, a mother who's loving her children, trying to instill the truth of Christ in them, there is a sweetness about them. There is a gentleness about them. Because the thing is once they look and they've got such a burden for their own children, they begin to look around and it seems like a Christ-honoring mother has always got a deep love for children all around. And they are truly a blessing. But there are two specific groups and two specific people that will actually call a Christ-honoring mother a blessing. And the first one is her family. A godly mother is a blessing to her family. You say, Pastor, are you just saying that, or is there some scriptural evidence to prove that? Well, don't turn there, but jot this reference down in your notes. Proverbs chapter 31 and verse 28. A passage of scripture that you are most likely familiar with. But in Proverbs chapter 31, the Bible tells us in verse 28, it says, and it's talking about a godly woman. And it says in verse 28 of Proverbs 31, her children arise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praiseth her. It's not just that you and I look and say, well, they're a sweet type woman, they're a motherly woman, but the Bible says that there is a truth there that a woman who is a Christ-honoring mother, who instills the truth into her children and into her grandchildren, that her children will rise up as they get older. They will look and recognize what a blessing and a joy they are. And not just those children, but the Bible also says that a husband will look and be grateful and give praise to his wife for the kind of mother that she has been. I can testify of my own mother and my own grandmother. I honestly, sincerely do not believe that I would be here today preaching the gospel, that I would not be in ministry, may not even know Christ as Savior if it were not for my mother and my grandmother. And I can remember times as a child, and I've testified that when I was 10, 11 years old, my dad was saved, but he had gotten hurt in church and he was out of church for a little while. And it was my mother who stood as a pillar keeping us in church. She took us to church even when my dad didn't want to go. And we ended up leaving that church. And my mother convinced my dad that she wanted us to go to church as a family. And we did. And my dad got back in church. And my dad was called into ministry later on in life. But the reality is, as a mother, sometimes you have to stand firm and say, no, we're going to God's house. This is a godly house. We are going to serve the Lord in this place. And we need more mothers in this day and age who will take that stand. And as a side note, I want to say this. There are far too many parents in our generation, in my generation, who allow their children to determine where they go to church. And may I say this to you this morning in love? You wouldn't walk up to that little 2 or 3 year old or 4 year old or 5 year old or 10 year old and hand them your checkbook and say, all right, now you determine what we're going to pay. You balance our checkbook and you determine what our finances are going to be. You say, well, Pastor, of course we wouldn't do that. That's foolishness. We wouldn't do that because that's important, man. That's our money. That's how we live. Well, let me ask you a question. Why then would we take such a serious decision as the truth of knowing God and Savior and put that into the hands of that little 3 or 4 year old child? We need a generation of parents who will rise up and say, we know the truth and we're going to go somewhere that teaches the truth, that preaches the truth, that lives out the truth, and we're going to place our children in that place and we're going to do everything we can to try to build it up and see other couples and other families come and bring their children here, but we are the ones that are going to set the path of where our children are going to go and where they're not going to go. My grandfather is well up in years. He's almost 90 years old, but he had one of the greatest statements I've ever heard about my generation. He said, and some of you probably heard it, he said, Scott, the biggest problem with your generation is the tail's wagging the dog. Do you understand the expression, the tail's wagging the dog, not the dog wagging the tail? And that doesn't mean that your children aren't important. That doesn't mean that I wouldn't want to take my children somewhere. And we're laboring in this ministry to make our children's ministry and our youth ministry something that kids do want to be a part of. They should be excited. I'm not saying that we should just bring them and drag them in and leave them in some old plain Jane room and make it boring as we can and just try to force them to be there. I'm not saying that at all. But what I'm saying is, as an adult, we have a responsibility to lead our families. And it's more important that you have them somewhere where the truth is preached than to have them somewhere where they've got an indoor roller coaster during the youth room. That's a good place to say amen if you're a Baptist this morning. Amen. A blessing to her family, a godly mother and a godly father will lead their children. But she's not only a blessing to her family, but secondly and finally, she's a blessing to the Father. She is a blessing to the Heavenly Father. Being a mother is a divine assignment given from God. You can't be a mother unless God allows you to be a mother. I don't care how much infertility clinic you go to. I don't care how much in vitro you go to. If it's not God's will, it's not going to happen. And so if you're here today and you are a mother and God has blessed you with the gift of that, you've got a divine assignment from the Heavenly Father. And when you honor Him and you instill those truths into your child, it makes a difference. And the Heavenly Father takes note. You say, Pastor, how much does He take note? How much difference does it really make in light of eternity, whether I'm a godly mother or whether I'm not? Well, consider this today. Every person that Timothy reached with the gospel, his mother Eunice and his mother Lois got some credit for those people, because they are a part of setting him on the path to righteousness. Every soul that I've ever seen come to Christ, every message I've ever preached has been an encouragement or a help to you or to anyone else. My mother and my grandmother have a part of that, because without them, I couldn't be where I am today. And the reality is, as a mother, sometimes it may seem like that you labor and labor and labor and no difference comes. But you just keep laboring. You keep giving that truth. You keep praying. You keep doing what you know is right to do. You keep instilling the right things into your children. And the Heavenly Father will take note. And when those children are old or older, they will look back and call you blessed. But your Heavenly Father will also call you blessed, because you took the divine assignment that He gave you and you honored Him with it. Today, on Mother's Day, I want to encourage all of our mothers and all of our grandmothers, don't just settle for being a good mother or a good grandmother. Determine in your heart that you are going to be a mother or a grandmother that honors Christ with your life. Let's bow our heads in prayer.